Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Chagiga, daf test. We thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Bilin Lezeh and Nishmas Lo Subin Zaltzman. We're on Chesamad Beis, and we're starting with the Mishnah. Just as a brief reminder, in the summary of yesterday, the Gemara yesterday brought a discussion of this idea of Tafel. Tafel, like Ikav Tafel. I gave the example yesterday, you eat a cholin, so there's many delicious ingredients in the cholin, but you're only going to make a bracha on the Ikav and only on the main ingredient. So cholin is an easy example, because that's barley, it's mazonos. But anyway, but we have an idea of ikar v'tafel, and we have it also as it relates to carbon. So as it relates to carbon, so the Gemara yesterday brought down that you can't use money to buy an obligation from money which has already been consecrated. So Meister Sheni can't be used to purchase your carbon chagiga, because the carbon chagiga is something that you owe, and you can't buy that obligation with something with money that you already are indebted, the money that you already owe. So it has to come from a chulin, it has to come from money which is unconsecrated money. Good. That's the basic halacha. But what one is entitled to do is be tofel. Now, what exactly does that mean to be tofel? So if you remember yesterday, it's a machlokus amarayim. And there's a reason why. You'll see in just a moment why I'm spending so much time in the introduction going over this machlokus. So machlokus between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. Chizkiah says that tofel behemel a behemel ve'in tofel maos l'maos. Chizkiah says, here's what you could do. The first animal that you buy as your carbon chagiga, that has to come from chulin. No question about it. Nothing else to discuss. If you want to buy a second animal as a chagiga, a third animal as a chagiga, you're entitled to do so. In fact, we're going to give an example today where a person bought 10 animals as a carbon chagiga. So you can for sure do that. You have to bring it all on one day, or you should bring it all on one day. That's coming up later on today, that discussion. But you buy 10 animals. So according to Chizkiah, after the first animal, if you then want to buy your second, third, fourth animal from Eiser Sheni money, that you're allowed to do. That's Chizkiah's position. Rav Yochanan says no, that's exactly the opposite. Rav Yochanan says that you could be tofel malos lamos ve'ain tofel behema lebehema. In one animal, what you could do is you could mix funds together. You could take some monies that are unconsecrated. You could take some monies that are consecrated. You can put them together, make a tarovus, make a mixture of the money. I know yesterday people asked me about percentages. I don't know. You can ask me again today. I can make arguments. I don't know. I'm just I'd be guessing if I tell you what the percentages are. The Gemara doesn't say. Gemara doesn't say. Rashi doesn't say. I haven't seen a discussion in terms of percentages. But you could mix monies together, pool monies together, take some of your chula money, some of your meister shiny money, pool them together, and buy a larger animal. So that Rav Yochanan says that you're allowed to do. But what you can't do is exactly what Chizkiah said you're allowed to. And that is buy one animal from chula money and one animal from meister shiny money. That you're not allowed to do. So tafel only allows you to do is to take monies and pull them together. That was about Chokas Amarayim. And then the Gemara in Daf Chesam Adolf, we did this yesterday, but I'm just reviewing. The Gemara brought down two brises. One brise is supportive of Chizkiah's position, and a second brise is supportive of Yochanan's position. And what was the conclusion? Well, the Gemara didn't arrive at a conclusion, but the Rambam goes like Rav Yochanan, that one could be tofel malos lamos, pull the monies together. Good. That was all back on yesterday's daf. Now we are continuing today with the Mishnah. Mishnah's on Chesam and Beis. Mishnah Yishla Ochel Merubah Nusach Mewatim. Okay, so the Mishnah over here is going to talk about four different types of people. So type number one is a person who's got a lot of dependents, a lot of mouths to feed, but unfortunately not a lot of money. So what do you do? Maybe Shlamim Merubah Volos Mewatim. So spend more money on your Shlamim. Again, you go to the Beis HaMikdash. And you have two principal carbons that you need to buy. Shamei Simcha, I understand. But let's leave Shamei Simcha out of this discussion. But principally, you have two carbons that you need to buy. You need to buy Shlamim for your Chagiga, and you need to buy an Ola for your Re'iyah, for your Olas Re'iyah. So, if you are somebody who have a lot of mouths to feed, so be practical. Meaning, obviously, the Ola is a great carbon, but you're also obligated to bring a Shlamim, and the Shlamim is going to help feed your family. So buy more Shlamim. The Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. If your resources are really limited, so how are you going to do that? Okay, that's stay tuned. The Gemara's going to ask that question. Nisach merubim v'ochel mu'at. That sounds like I'm about to give great financial advice. So, but please, be patient. We'll get to that in the Gemara. Nisach merubim v'ochel mu'at. Let's go the other direction. Let's talk about the person. Well, Baruch Hashem, because Baruch Hu gave him a lot of resources. He's got a lot of money, and he doesn't have a lot of people to feed. So then maybe olas merubas v'shlamim mu'atim. So now emphasis on the ola. So bring more olas, because the ola is the carbon. It's a gift to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So bring more olas, and then obviously limit the amount of shlamim you're going to bring, because you don't want to bring more shlamim than you can eat. That's going to result in no star. Okay, good. So that's pretty straightforward. Zev is a muat. Let's say both the resources that you have are limited, and you also don't have a lot of mouths to feed. So now you go to the minimums. Meaning then you understand what we were learning about in the first mission of the Masechta, where for the Ola it's one ma'ah, for the Shlamim it's two ma'ah. Okay, so that's the minimums. And the Zevzem Merubim, and let's say you have a lot of resources, you have money, and you also have a lot of mouths to feed. So then good, you have a lot of bracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you both bracha in terms of resources and in terms of children. So good. So then act accordingly. Meaning as many shlamim as you need to feed as many people as you can, as many olas as you can afford. Okay, good. In other words, then it's just a question of budgeting and budget wisely. Good. So we have now four categories in the Mishnah. And again, depending on whether or not you have a lot of money or a little bit of money, a lot of mouths to feed, a little bit of mouths to feed. So that's how you basically balance your shlamim versus your ola. The Gemara's question is a very straightforward question. So shlamim merubim mehecha maisa. The first piece of advice in the Mishnah, how are you going to do that? Right? You don't have a lot of money, but you have a lot of mouths to feed. Okay, good. So then get a lot of shlamim. What? You don't have a lot of money. What are you going to do? So ha-leis-lei amarechista tofel umevi pargadol. So Rav Chista says, that's why you go back to Amar Aleph, go back to Ches Amar Aleph, and what do? So you do the maneuver of tefela, which is that what you're going to do, says Rav Chista, is that you're going to take whatever monies that you have. You also have Maestro Sheni lying around the house. You have to have Maestro Sheni, meaning you have to take off Maestro Sheni 4 out of the 7 years in the Shemitah cycle. So pool the monies together in order to get a larger shlamim. That's what the Mishnah means when it says, go heavy on the shlamim using the mechanism of tefela, of adding Maestro Sheni money. So Amalei Rav Sheshes Harei Amru Tofen Behema LeBehema. So Rav Sheshes turns to his colleague Rav Chista, and Rav Sheshes says, wait a second. They said that you're to be a tofel behema lebehema. Okay, now, at this juncture of the Gemara is not totally clear what Rav Sheshes is saying to Rav Chista. So my kamarlei, that's the question. What is Rav Sheshes saying? So ilei machi kamarlei hari amru tofel behema lebehema v'lo mos mos. So is what he's doing is basically just taking the position of Chizkia, that you're allowed to do tofel. You're allowed to be tofel, but that's only for animals. Meaning, one animal is going to be bought from chula money. The subsequent animals can be bought from Maestro Sheni money. Meaning, is he just simply saying that I accept the position of Chizkia? So why doesn't he just say clearly, the lay malay ain't tofel maus la maus, ain't tofel maus la maus. Just say that. Meaning, the way he said it doesn't sound like he's just simply adopting the position of Chizkia. So the Gemara now is going to understand that what Rav Chista said is slightly more nuanced, and actually something that we have not yet seen. And that is, Amar Lei, Hari Amru, Af Tofelim Behema LeBehema. You can even be Tofel Behema LeBehema. Meaning that what Rav Sheshes is saying to Rav Chista is, you could do either. Meaning, Rav Chista, you're limiting Tofel to just monies, where you're pooling the monies together. You don't have to limit yourself to that. You could do either. You can either be Tofel money, or you could be Tofel Behema. Now the Gemara says, now hold on 1 second. Come on, the Chizkiyahu, Udolok Rav Yochanan. So then where does Rav Sheshet stand? Go back to the Amud Aleph, go back to yesterday's Daf, and Chizkiyahu has the opinion, Rav Yochanan has the opinion, and Rav Sheshet is adopting both, meaning he thinks there's no machlokas. So Vechite Ma'amarai Havahu the Pligi Masnasalo Pligi, and the Gemara is suggesting, well, look, the Amoraim are certainly arguing. That's inescapable. But maybe the Tanaim are not arguing. Remember, in the Amud Aleph, in yesterday's Daf, we had two brises. One that was supportive of Chizkiyahu, and then one was supportive of Rav Yochanan. What the Gemara now is suggesting, this is Rashi's explanation of our Gemara, what the Gemara now is suggesting is that really the truth of the matter is the brises don't argue. They both are of the opinion that you could be tofel, monies. Meaning, if it's pooling monies together to buy an animal, both brises would say, that's okay. The only point of dispute between the two brises is, can I do the same thing regarding animals? Okay, and if we just think about it for just a moment, I think it makes sense. I mean, the Gemara makes sense just in terms of our understanding. I think it works out because if you think about it, let's think about what's the bigger chiddush. If I'm taking my sosheni and chula money and I'm mixing it together to buy an animal, so there, all said and done, part of the animal's purchased from chula money. Okay, good. I have an obligation to bring a chagiga. Okay, good. This animal is monies for this animal are purchased from chulin monies. Okay, there's maaser sheni money as well, but there's chulin money included in here. But now let's go to the behema. Behema is a bigger chiddush. Think about why behema. One animal is totally purchased from maaser sheni money. That is a bigger chiddush. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that when it comes to monies and pooling monies together, so there, no question. That everyone agrees is okay. When it comes to animals, that's the machlok between the two brises. So the Gemara says, okay, go back to yesterday's daf, go back to the Amud Aleph of Ches, and look at the brisa carefully. The Gemara is going to quote it. V'haktani achila rishona min hachulin. So the first achila has to come from chulin. Now at this point, what we assume the second brisa meant, this is yesterday's second brisa, is that the first animal has to be chulin. So my achila rishona shir de my achila rishona min hachulin. So the Gemara says, no, it's not actually the first animal has to come from chulin. Your first shir achila, meaning the first bite you're going to eat, not bite. Now let's say kezias. The first kezias that you're going to eat has to come from chulin money. So in other words, and maybe, I'm not sure, and maybe this speaks to the question of percentages, but in other words, when you're pulling together monies, make sure that there's at least enough chulin money so that when I buy this animal, I could say with that first bite that I eat, the first kezias that I eat, oh, that came from chulin money. That's what the second brisa means. And the second brisa is also allowing you to do the tofel b'behema, which means that if you want to buy one animal from chulin and one animal from maaser sheni money, that's also acceptable as well. Okay, so that is now we have a full understanding of Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes really presents to us now a third opinion. So now in all of a sudden, now we can review the entire discussion of tofel. We have now before us three opinions. Chizkiah's opinion is that you can be tofel, but only behema l'behema. First animal has to be purchased with chulin money. Every subsequent animal can be purchased with maaser sheni money. That's Chizkiah's position. Then we have Rav Yochanan's position, which is your tofel ma'os la'ma'os. No, you can only pool funds together to buy a larger animal. But I cannot buy a second or third animal exclusively from maaser sheni money. And now we have in our Gemara a third opinion by Tefillin. That's Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says either. You could do either. You could either be tofel behema la'behema or you could be tofel ma'os la'ma'os.
Concept of braille comes in here. The first bite
could be. I hear you. It could very well be. No one's using that kind of language in this discussion. No one on the daf, but it very.
How else would you know this?
Yeah. No. Agreed. I hear. I totally hear that. Okay. So back to the Gemara. Sorry. Okay. Amar ulam reshlakish efrish esabehemos achagi gaso. So now here we have a scenario where a person sets aside 10 animals for his chagiga. Now 10 animals, that's obviously a lot. But again, based on our Mishnah, it's not crazy. Again, he has a lot of kids, a lot of dependents, a lot of people need to eat on Yantif. Okay, so for me, kids, grandkids, okay, and a whole bunch of, you know, of other people just tagged along. Good, so he bought 10 animals. So hikriv chamish b'yom tov rishon, chozer makriv chamish b'yom tov sheni. So what it will look like right now on the onset is that we're going to have a debate, and the Gemara is going to point out there's really no debate. If you bring five on day one, you can bring five on day two. Now, let's make sure that we got this point clear. The Karban Chagiga is an obligation to bring on Yantif. The primary obligation is to bring on day one of Yantif. If you don't bring it on day one, so then you can make it up. Day two, day three, day four. On Sukkot, you can go all the way to day eight. On Pesach, you can go to day seven. Shavuos, even though there's no Chol HaMoed on Shavuos, but you can also go till day seven. Okay, you have what's called Yemei Tashlumim. But there's a principal day of obligation, that's day one. So here now, we have 10 animals, so you brought five on day one, you bring five on day two. That's right now, that is the opinion of Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan Amar Kemet, Chapasuk Shavu Namakriv, and Rav Yochanan says, no, you brought five on day one, that's it, you're done. The next five cannot be born in day two. So now the Gemara says, what's going on? Amar Rabbi Abba v'lo Pligi. Rabbi Abba says, there is no machlokas over here between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. They're just simply describing two different scenarios. Kan b'stam, kan b'mefaresh. One's talking about stam, and the other one's talking about mefaresh. And without explaining, we're just going to read on, because it'll become clear in the Gemara. Hay stam echidam. Now, what stam, what does that mean? It means that you said nothing. So that means as follows. You set aside 10 animals as your carbon chagiga. Here was the plan. The plan was, I'm going to bring all of them today. Right? In other words, again, the principal mitzvah of the Karban Chagiga is to be brought on day one. I really plan on bringing all of them today. Just what happens? Life happens. I brought five of them, and then look at that. Look at the time. It's late. Day's over. Okay? But the plan was to bring all of them today. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you had no time today, so you bring it tomorrow. Meaning the game plan was to bring all 10 of them today. You couldn't bring all 10 of them today. Fine. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, let's say you ran out of consumers. Meaning after shechting the first five animals, you look around, you realize, all right, I got enough to feed everybody and then some. Right? Well, I can't shecht anymore today because we're good. We're good for today. So the Gemara says, once again, if that's the scenario, that's fine. So then you bring the next five tomorrow. Again, the original game plan was to offer everything today. So the Gemara says, look, there really is no legitimate excuse why it is that you push it off to the next day. Meaning, you didn't say anything. You set aside 10 animals. And now, there's still time left in the day. You still have mouths to feed. And what's going on right now? You only offered five. What about the other five? Tomorrow. But the chiyuv is really day one. That's the main chiyuv. So what are you demonstrating? You think that there's more than one day of chiyuv. You know what that's called? Yeah, that's called Baal Tosif. Right. So now you're adding to the mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah says, V'chagosem oso. It's one day of chagiga. True, there are makeup days. But by you buying 10 animals, and you offering five on day one, and for no good reason, you're going to offer now five in day two? That's Baal Tosif. The Gemara says, it's funny, the Gemara doesn't use those words Baal Tosif, but that's basically what we're talking about. That's where it's no good. The Hachinami Mistamra, I'm sorry, so Shir Shareinu, before we go on to the Gemara, and that's where it's no good, and that's where you can't offer in 2 days. If you're Mefaresh, meaning you say specifically, I'm offering all these animals for day one, so then good. So then anything that's left over is going to be, you can offer the next day, it's Tashlamim. So the Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan, who says, if you brought five on day one, you can bring five on day two. Rav Yochanan. The same Rav Yochanan who 10 lines ago in the Gemara says, Kevin Shapasak Shivena Makriv. No, if you stop bringing five, if you only brought five on day one and you stopped, you can't bring five in the next five on day two. So the Gemara says that's a steer in Rav Yochanan. So Kashin Adadi Alalash Ramina Kamistan Kamim Mefaresh. So the Gemara says, good, we're going to go to the distinction that we just made. What's the distinction we just made? Stam versus Mefaresh. If I said nothing and I offered five on day one, and I have no excuse. Meaning, why am I bringing five the next day? I feel like tomorrow's also going to be a good day for Chagida. That's Baal Tosif. That's no good. If I'm a Farish, if I say that I'm planning to bring all of them today, and for whatever reason you don't, but you know there's some explanation why. Okay, so then you can bring the next on the next on the next day. Idmar Nami Amrav Shemin Rab Amrav Yochan on top of Tesam and Aleph. Lo Shana Lo Shalo Gamar Aval Gamar Chozer Makriv. When is it that you can't bring the rest of the Chagigas on day two? That's if you didn't finish. But if you finished, so then you can bring on day two. What does that mean? That's the Gemara's next question. My Gamar Ilay Magamar Karbanosta My Makriv. Well, if you finish your carbon, so then there's nothing to talk about. You're good. So Alo Shalo Gamar Hayom Aval Gamar Hayom Chozer Makriv. That's if the day didn't finish. But if the day finished, so in other words, you brought 10 animals, you're planning to bring all of them today. And then, lo and behold, after animal number 5, you're looking at the clock, Cohen taps you on the shoulder and says, look, I'm really sorry, day's over. Right? 5 more animals? Okay, bring them tomorrow. Then you can bring them tomorrow because, again, the game plan was to bring them all today. The fact that you're bringing tomorrow, that wasn't your original intent. This is not an issue about Tosif. The next day is simply going to be Tashlamim for day one. Okay, Adkan. Good. So, a lot of discussion now in terms of the Karban Chagiga. We continue. The next Mishnah, Daf Tesamad Aleph, we're at the Mishnah. Mishalo Chag B'yam Tavishon Shal Chag. Chogeg is Kolarego. So, if you're not Chag on day one, you didn't bring your Karban Chagiga on day one, so then, Holech, continue. And do so in the entire Yontav, Yontav Achron Shal Chag. And you can even go to Yontav Achron Shal Chag. The Mishnah is talking about Shmini Atzeres. even though Shmini Atzeres is an independent day, it's not a totally independent day. In certain halachas, right, the Gemara over there back in Sukkah told us that in six halachas, so it has certain identities of independence. But it's not totally independent. It's Shmini Atzeres. It's the eighth day. Obviously, it's still an attachment to Sukkot, and as such, if you didn't bring your Karman Chagiga on days 1 through 7, day 8, you could still make it up. The Aviyam Tabach Mishal Chag. So, now let's say Yom Tov is over, and for whatever reason you didn't bring the Karman Chagiga, so that's it. Missed opportunity. Al Zen Namar, missed opportunities. Gemar quotes the Pasuk in Kohelet, Me'uvas lo yuchal litkon, v'chisaron lo yuchal lihimanos. So me'uvas is something which is bent, which you can't fix, and chisaron lo yuchal lihimanos, and it's something which is missing that cannot be counted. Gemar later on is going to say the Pasuk in Kohelet is funny. Can't be counted, should say can't be filled, right? Chisaron, something which is empty but cannot be filled up. In other words, simply put, look, we all make mistakes. And some mistakes are irreparable. Okay, that's just that's the way life works. And the Mishnah over here says, here's an example of where you made a mistake and it's irreparable damage. You had a chance to bring Karman Chagiga, the Yom Tov passed. You didn't bring Karman Chagiga. Okay, done.
Forget about it.
Yeah, right. Okay, right. I mean, shake it off. Yeah, you have next Yom Tov. Okay, but you made a mistake and there's just nothing you could do about it. Okay, and that's, I mean, Pasuk can go halas. That's life. That's just simply how life works. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer. Now, interesting. Now the Gemara is going to give other examples. It's funny. Other examples. I mean, basically, this is true by any mitzvah overis. Right? Any mitzvah that passes by. You could say it by matzah. You could say it by dalad minim. Right? Anytime you have a mitzvah that comes and goes, you can use the pasuk in Kohelet. So, Gemara, for reasons which I'm not totally sure, I'm not totally clear, is going to select some big time mistakes that a person can make, and it just there's nothing you can do about it. Another example.
Can you ask? Can you say, look, you're supposed to give me something, but come on, he's losing.
Okay, and what do you mean? If it's a Cohen's, if it was a Cohen's fault,
the Cohen gets something, not from the Cohen. He gets a chazik b'shul.
Okay, but
so,
but the
claim is say, wait a second, because you forgot.
I understand that, but no, there's no one Cohen in particular that can make a claim. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Manasi Amar Hezu Mavuva Shena Yochalitko. Here's another example. Zabala Erva, someone who has relations with a woman who's prohibited to him, right? Isser Erva. Anyone mentioned in Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim, Va'oli Mimenu Mamzer, and they have a child, and that child's a Mamzer. So again, he could say sorry, and he could do tshuva, and he could regret all he wants. But that's it. The moms is there, and the moms is there, and the moms is there forever. Again, example, okay, mistake he made, and it's irreparable. What about stealing? So stealing is not a good example. In fact, stealing is a bad example. You steal, but you return the item that you stole. Okay, so there you can make it up. But having a mom's there, that's something you cannot make up. So Rav Shimon Mayochai says, look, obviously those are irreparable mistakes. Obviously. But in terms of the Pasuk and Kohelet, I don't like that as an explanation of the Pasuk. Because look at the Pasuk carefully. The Pasuk says, it was something which was straight, then it was bent, and you can't straighten it out again. That's the pasuk. So in other words, we're starting with something which was good, then not good, and it can't be made good again. So the man having relations with the erva and having a child, right, never started good, right, started bad. So that it's just not a good example of the pasuk goels. What is a good example? The Ezer, this is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai talking, the Rashbi. So Ezer the Talmid Chacham, a porish men Torah. So you have a Talmid Chacham who leaves the Torah. Now that's interesting, and it will engender a lot of interesting discussion. He can't come back, meaning Meuvas Hashem Lo Yuchal Litkon. That it was he was good. He was a Talmid Chacham. Then he went astray, and that
he came back.
And, right.
Yeah, but he lost time. That can be a
okay. Good.
That's
good.
The time he can.
All right. So we're gonna come back to that. That's gonna. All this is interesting, but that's gonna be interesting in terms of why can't he come back? Why can't he undo what he did wrong. Okay. We start with the Gemara. We're on Testament Aleph. We are right after the Mishnah. Manan Emili, I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum, Rav Yishmal. Ne'emar, Atzeres B'Shvi'i Shal Pesach. Ve'ne'emar, Atzeres B'Shvi'i Shal Chag. Look, we have the word Atzeres pop up both at the last day of Pesach, which is day 7, and the last day of Sukkot, which is day 8. So Malahalam Tashlumim Af Kan LaTashlumim. So the Gemara says, look, they're both going to be the Tashlumim, meaning that for Pesach, you're 7 days. Your 7th day is the last day of Teshlamim. For Sukkos, your 8th day is the last day of Teshlamim. And the Gemara says it's based on Gzeir Shavah. And the Gemara says, Mufne, it's a strong Gzeir Shavah. What does that mean, strong Gzeir Shavah? It means that in both places the word is superfluous, totally redundant, which, by the way, that was just me. And it creates a stronger Gzeir Shavah. Remember the Gemara at the end of Nida? The Gemara at the end of Masechta Nida actually gives us, I find this to be funny, that only at the end of Shas, meaning Masechta Nida, there the Gemara talks about the rules of Gzeir Shavah. Okay, good. So, but it's not that long ago, only 2 short years ago we were there. So Masechta Nida, so the Gemara says that Gzeir Shavah, where on both sides of the Gzeir Shavah, it's Mufna, where the words are redundant, so extraneous, so then you have a strong, unbreakable Gzeir Shavah. And even if you have what would be logical questions you can ask, it's not going to break the Gzeir Shavah. And here we have it. The Elav, Mofnei Kol Mifrach, the Gemara says, look, here you can ask a very simple question. Ma'al Shvi, Shal Pesach, Shekein Enu Chalok Mishlafanav. Tomer Bishmini, Shal Chag, Shal Chalok Mishlafanav. Look, the 7 day of Pesach, it's no different than day 6, no different than day 5. What does that mean, no different? It is different. Day 5 and 6 are Chol HaMoed. Day 7 is Yontif. That's true, but regarding Karban, it looks the same. When it comes to Shemini Atzeres, regarding Karban, it looks totally different. Right? There's a, when you go from day 1 through 7 on Sukkos, you see the pattern, 13 Parim, 12 Parim, 11 Parim. And then what happens when you get to Shemini Atzeres? Parichad. One Par. Oh, it's a totally different day. So I might have thought, a reasonable argument would be Shemini Atzeres is a totally different day, and it can't be viewed as a tashlum for day 1. That's why I have the strong Gzeir Shavah. La'afnoi mufne, the Gemara now points out that in both places it's redundant. Why? The mihti my Atzeres atzur be'asiyas malacha. Because what does the Atzeres mean? Atzeres means that today's a special day, you're not going to do work. Haksiv la'asiyas malacha. So, okay, but the Torah says it. The Torah says that on the last day you don't do work. Atzeres tekas v'rachman alam ali. So why does the Torah go out of its way to say the word atzeres? Ela shmamina alaf nuyei. So the Gemara says it's because it wanted that extra word, which seemed to be unnecessary, to create the Gzeir Shavah, so that now I know that on Pesach I have till day 7 for Tashlamim. On Sukkot, I have till day 8.
Aren't there people who say that after Shavuot is that Seret for Pesach?
Yeah, the Ramban. The Ramban on Chumash makes such a comment that the 50 days are like Chol HaMoed, but the important word over there is like. It's like Chol HaMoed. It's not actually Chol HaMoed.
Why can't we use the word Shmini and Shmini Atzeret to show there's a connection?
Yeah, right. In other words, that's correct. Look, it's Shmini Atzeres is an ambiguity. I mean, that's really, when it all comes down to it. On one hand, it's called Shmini. On the other hand, it's got its own. You say Shechian. The Gemara goes over six differences where Shmini Atzeres has its own identity. Right, Pazar Kashav. Right, that's the acronym. But then don't ask me to tell you what each one of them are. I'd have to look it up. Okay, but anyway, but it's an ambiguity. Shmini Atzeres is an ambiguity. That's, you know. The Tani Ma'aselam Ha'acha, the Gemara says, we have a brayso that learns it from the following. The Tani V'chagos, Maso Chag La'Hashem Shivas Yamim, Yachli Yechol Gevahol Echol Shiva. So I might have thought that the carbon chagig should be all 7 days. Tamalomer Oso. Gemara says the word Oso, meaning no. Like I said earlier today, but here you have the Gemara saying it. No, the principal day of chagiga is one day. Oso Atachol Gevahol Echol Echol Shiva. So 1 day, not all 7 days. Imkein Laman Emar Shiva. 7 days tells you that you have what is makeup days, but there's one principal day that you should bring the Karmel Chagiga. That's day 1. Uminayin Shim Lo Chag Yom Tov Rishon Shachag Shachol Gevahol Echol Eskol Aregel VeYom Tov HaAcharon. And if I miss day 1, I have the remainder of Yantav, and I even have the last day of Yantav, otherwise known as Shmini Atzeres. Tamalomer Bechodesh Hashvi Tachol Goso. So I Bechodesh Hashvi Yachol Yechol Gevahol Echak Chodesh Kulo. What an interesting Hava Mina. I might have thought that I have the entire month to make it up. No, only within the parameter of Yantiv do I have a chance to make it up, but not outside the parameter of Yantiv. Okay. Umay tashlomim. This should sound familiar because we did this a little over a week ago. The question of how do you view tashlomim? So here we have a classic chakira right in the Gemara analysis. Rav Yochanan Amar Tashlomim L'Rishon, Rav Oshia Amar Tashlomim Zelazeh. So machlok between Rav Yochanan and Rav Oshia, how do you view Tashlomim? In other words, you didn't bring the carbon chagig on day one. Okay. So now you have day two, good, you have a makeup opportunity. You have day three, you have a makeup opportunity. According to Rav Yochanan, each makeup opportunity is really a makeup for day one. Meaning, principally, you should have brought on day one. You didn't? Okay. Day two, or day three, or day four, and on Sukkot all the way to day eight, Shemini Atzeres, you have a chance to make up for day one. But it's all a makeup for day one. That's Rav Yochanan. Rav Oshia says, no. Tashlumim zeh lazeh. What ends up happening is basically your chiv gets bumped. You were supposed to bring on day one, you didn't. Your chiv now gets bumped to day two. You then are going to have to bring on day two, you didn't. The chiv gets bumped to day three. So in other words, the chiv bounces from day to day. Whereas according to Rav Yochanan, no.
There's never tashlumim.
Yeah, you're right. That's another way to say it, but agreed. In other words, it's each subsequent day now becomes like a new, right, almost like a new chiyuv. And the Gemara says, and a nafkamina? The Gemara says, I'll give you the nafkamina. My benana, amar zera, chigir b'yam rishon nispasha b'yam shenika benayu. Simple case where a person was chigir. He was lame on day one, and because he was lame on day one, so then he has a patur, a legitimate exemption from bringing the karmen chagiga on day one. Right, remember the first Mishnah? We had all 10 exemptions mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Masechta. So here's one. He's chiger. He's lame. So now, Rav Yochanan Amar Tashlomim L'Rishon, Kevin L'Chazib Rishon, L'Chazib Sheni. So Rav Yochanan will tell you, good. He not only is he exempt, he's exempt. Because any day of Tashlomim is really just a makeup for day one. But on day one, he had a legitimate Ptur. He was exempt on day one. So therefore, he has no obligation to bring. And we can even go one step further. Not only does he not have an obligation to bring, right, he can't bring because he's pater, he's exempt.
It'd be
chulin bazaro, okay? And Rav Oshia amar tashlumim zeh lazeh. And Rav Oshia says that no. What ends up happening is that if he doesn't bring on day one, the chiv bounces now to day two. So that's a chiv on day two. It's not a tashlumim on day two. I like the way Ben said it. Meaning it's not really tashlumim. It's now a new chiv on day two. So alfagav de l'chazib rishon, chazib sheni. Okay, good. Okay, so now what we have is a basic machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Rav Oshia, how to view the 7 days of Tashlumim, or on Pesach, the 6 days of Tashlumim. And by the way, same thing is going to be true for Shavuos as well. So how do you view them? By the way, sorry for the pause. Okay, let's take a look at the third Tosfos on the Amud Tashlumim and Zelazeh. We have a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Oshia. Yeah, we'll do it. I'm sorry, just thinking about time. Okay, right. So let's say you we have a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Oshia. How do you view Tashlumim? Is it that each one is a makeup for day one, or does the chiv get bumped from day one to day two? Good. I certainly understand it by Pesach, and I certainly understand it by Sukkos. Yeah, right. Shavuos, right, how is that going to work? I mean, think about it. It's a great question. Shavuos is only one day. Now, it's true on Shavuos you have makeup. You have a chance to make it up. But isn't it odd that on Shavuos you have a chance to make it up on a day where it's not Yontif? So, is Rav Yochanan and Rav Oshia also going to argue by Shavuos as well? Tosfos says no. Look at the third Tosfos on the Amud. The Ahid Elakaman Diafin and Tashlum Lachaga Shavuos Michaga Matzos Kol Zayin. So later on, Tosfos says Yud Zayin. Okay, so it's a little over a week from now. We're going to see that there's Tashlum for Shavuos as well. But what does that mean? Lo Mistaber LaMeimar Tashlumim Zelazeh Kevin Dechol Gamarhu. I can't imagine it's going to be Tashlumim Zeh Lazeh. You understand his point? Meaning, I can see Rav Yochanan's argument over there that each one of those makeup days is really a makeup for day one. But I can't see Rav Oshia saying that by Shavuos, his obligation is going to get bumped. Get bumped to what? The next day is not a Yontif. It's not Chol HaMoed. It's not a Yontif. Hard to imagine. So Shavuos says that this machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Rav Oshia is only going to be for Sukkos and for Pesach. But it can't be for Shavuos, because if you think about it, it doesn't work. How can you have your obligation of Chagiga actually get moved to a weekday? Right. In other words, Tashlumim, yes. But Tashlumim for Yom Rishon. Right. So what Tosos now is arguing is that Rav Oshia and Rav Yochanan would have an agreement how to look at it, how to view it, vis-a-vis Shavuos. Okay. Very interesting. Let's go on in the Gemara. Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. Okay, next 20 lines of Gemara are not going to be our easiest 20 lines of Gemara that we're going to be seeing. But good, let's give it a try, and I will try my best to explain. We have now in our Gemara, according to Rav Yochanan, how he views Tashlumim. The Rav Yochanan view of Tashlumim is it's all Tashlumim L'Rishon, meaning that if you miss the first day for whatever reason, or let's say a legitimate patur, so that's it. You no longer have an obligation to bring, not on day two, not on day three, because all those days are just make up for day ones, and if you were exempt on day one, you're simply going to be exempt now for the remainder, for the balance of Yontif. That's Rav Yochanan's viewpoint. The Gemara now wonders, how is that going to work in light of what else we know about Rav Yochanan? So, Rav Oshia Amar Tashlumim Zeh, Avad Adol Chaz B'Rishon. Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. So, Tes Amad Aleph, five lines from the bottom, the Gemara now is wondering. V'hamar Chizkiya, Nitma B'yom Evi, B'alayla Eino Mevi. So let's now give ourselves a little bit of context so we know what's happening. Rashi says that we're going back to the Gemara in Krisos. The Gemara in Krisos, Daf Tes, take a look at Rashi. Tanan, Rashi is a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. So we learned over there, Nazi may be carbon echad al tumas harbe. So a Nazi brings one carbon for many tumas. In other words, the person says he's going to become a Nazir. Okay? If he doesn't make any stipulation, he's going to be Nazir for 30 days. Okay. And then, so he's got to count 30 days, and at the conclusion of 30 days, if he counts successfully and not getting tummy any time in the middle, so then he brings a carbon at the end, three carbons at the end, terminating his Nazirus. Good. What if in the middle of a Nazirus becomes tummy? So what does he do? So he's got to go through a period of Tahara, and in the period of Tahara, he will purify himself with the Paraduma. We're talking about Tumas Mace. He purifies himself. And then what he does is that he's got to bring a set of Karbanos, not for the conclusion of his Nazirus, but basically to reboot his Nazirus. And he's got to start counting all over again from the point of his Tahara. Good. What if he becomes Tameh, and then he becomes Tameh, and then he becomes Tameh again in succession? So at the end of finally, when all the dust is cleared and when he's finally finished with his Tumah, he's only going to need to bring one carbon at the end. Meaning he could bring one carbon even for successive Tumahs. And now we're going to get to the gray area of this discussion. So Rashi over here quotes the Mishnah in Krisus. Tana Nazir may be carbon echa al Tumahs arbe. V'amar Chizkiya nidma biyom cheshu hu rai lahavi carbon asav. Olahaskal minyan azirasav. So let's say he becomes tummy in 7 days of Yemei Tahara. And on day eight, he now is obligated to bring his carbon, right? His carbon for his ability to reboot and restart again. And on day eight, he didn't yet bring his carbon, and unfortunately, he becomes tummy again on day eight. So Chizkiya says, for such a Nazir, when he finally comes around to becoming Tahor again, he's got to bring two sets of carbonos. Well, I understand, but he didn't bring his first carbon for his first period of Tumah. Yeah, but he was roi. He was fit to bring carbon for the first. He right? So he could have. Since he could have, we now consider that to be one state of Tumah, and the next one is a totally new state of Tumah, in which he's going to have to bring another carbon for that as well. The Yamash Shmona Kodem Tumah Betalin Kamoshin Emma V'yamash Shmini Yavish Te Torim Shnei Bnei Yona. Okay. So far, so good. That's the background to our entire discussion. And now that we have the background, so let's now discuss the following. Chizkiya says, Nitba Bayom Evi. Balaila Eino Mevi. What if he becomes Tameh, not on day eight, but on the eve of day eight? Balaila. So, right. So Chizkiya says, well, hold on. You're right, but just hold the language, and you'll see why I'm putting a pause on that. So Rav Chizkiya says, okay, look, he can't bring a carbon yet, so this is going to be considered a continuation of the previous tumah. At which, when he finally becomes tahor, he's only going to need to bring one set of karbanos. Rav Yochanan Amar, af balayla nami mevi. And Rav Yochanan says, no. Even at night, even if he becomes a tummy on the night of the 8th, he's going to have to bring a second karban when he becomes tahor. So this now poses a problem. Take a look at Rashi. Rav Yochanan Amar, hova tavel tumasto rishona. There is shimshu, because remember, what happens in the 7 days of purification? On day 7, he tovels in the mikvah during the day. Most tefillahs occur during the day, the exception, of course, being a nidah. But most tefillahs occur during the day. So he'll tovel during the day. And now, good, that night, he's tahor. Nischayev bekarban. And now he's obligated to bring a karban. Now, of course, we don't bring a karban at night. The afal pi, Rashi writes, the afal pi shein laila raila karban, ama afa gav de lo raila karban, yeshlo tashlomim. Now look, it's a point in time where he can't bring a karban, because he can't bring a karban at night, but yeshlo tashlomim, there's going to be a makeup. Okay. So now, here's what's bothering the Gemara. Right? The Gemara is troubled by the fact that on one hand, Rav Yochanan says, regarding the Chagiga, that if you were exempt on day one, there will be a continued exemption, and there's not going to be a makeup. Meanwhile, over here, in a somewhat similar fashion, totally different case, but the idea is the same idea, he's not bringing carbon at night, and yet the next day is a makeup for the night. I understand. I'm setting us up. The Gemara is setting us up. The Gemara is going to give answers. I get it. But I'm just, right now, I'm presenting it so that at least we see how the Gemara thought to compare these two scenarios. So good. So, Nidma B'yom maybe, B'layla maybe, Rav Yochanan Amar, B'layla Nami maybe. So, I'm Rav Yirmiya Shani Tumad Yeshla Tashlamim, B'Pesach Sheni. So, answer number one of the Gemara. We're talking now about Tumah. Oh, Tumah. It's precedented to have tashlumim by tumah. In fact, look at Pesach Sheni. Perfect example of someone's tummy on Pesach Rishon. Okay, Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is a makeup. So the Gemara says, not everyone thinks Pesach Sheni is a makeup. So Maskev La Repapa Dehani Chalamandam Pesach Sheni Tashlumim LeRishon Hu Elamandam Sheni Regel Bifnei Atzma Michael Amemar. What if you're of the opinion that Pesach Sheni is a Regel Bifnei Atzma? Right, for example, let's say someone becomes an adult between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Right, he had no obligation on Pesach Rishon. Does he have to bring a carbon on Pesach Sheni? Good. Then in a whole slew of other examples where you see, and we discussed this back in Pesachim at length, whether or not, how do you view Pesach Sheni? Is it just simply a makeup for Pesach Rishon, or is it an independent yantav? That's a machlokes.
So Yochanan would say that the kid wouldn't have to, right? Based on his logic.
Okay, good. Good. But the Gemara says, but it's a... It's subject to a debate, and so this answer of Rav Yirmiya, that when it comes to Tumah, well, it doesn't Pesach show you that by Tumah there's such an idea of Tashlumim? Not according to everybody. So the Gemara says, fine. So now Ben, like as often, right? Now the Gemara is going to invoke your answer. So my Ikalamemar, Ella Amar of Papa, Kasav Rav Yochanan, Laila Inim Chusus Man. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back now to our case of the Nazir. So again, day 7, he purified himself, paraduma, toveled in the mikvah, and good. And now at night, so it's not, of course you can't bring a carbon at night. The carbon can only be brought during the day. I understand that.
Right.
But it's not that at night it's not a zman carbon, it is a zman carbon. It just happens to be a technical problem that it's nighttime. But the truth of the matter is that his obligation to bring carbon starts at night. With an external reason why he can't bring it, because it's night. But it starts at night. And now that finishes his first set of tumah, and if he were to become tumah again, this is considered a brand new tumah. Good. That's the Gemara's answer. That's Kasav Rav Yochanan. Laila inam chusus manamim, Rav Yochanan hachi. Okay, but this answer also is going to have a snag to it. The Hamar of Yochanan Ra Achas Balayla V'Shtayim Bayom Mevi Shtayim Balayla V'Achas Bayom Eino Mevi. The Gemara now is going to treat us to another halacha of Tumah and Tahara, and that is a Zav. What's the halacha regarding a Zav for a man? For a woman, it's a little bit different. But for a man, if a man sees three re'eos, three discharges of Ziva, which is not Balkari, It's different. It's different in color. It's different in viscosity. But if a man has a zav discharge three consecutive times, so now he's a zav, requiring him to wait shiv and a kid, to count shiv and a kiyam, seven clean days, and at the eighth day to bring a karban. So now we're discussing a similar scenario where he's concluding one ziva, and then on day eight, once again, he sees a new ziva. So if he sees, if he has one discharge a night and two in the next day, maybe shtayim. So he's got to bring two sets of karbanos. Balayla, period. Shtayim balayla va'achas bayom eino mevi. But if he sees two at night and one during the day, he does not need to bring a second karban. This can now just simply be viewed as a continuation of the previous ziva. So the Gemara says, now according to Rav Yochanan, what just happened? A total inconsistency in Rav Yochanan. Because of the way Rav Yochanan views night is that night is really a totally new day. And your obligation to bring carbon really starts at night. Just for a technical reason. You can't bring carbon. So if that's true, so now, the man just concluded not only being a Zav, but counting Shiv and Akim. He counted seven clean days. And he tovel the mikvah on day seven. And now you get to the night of the eighth, so it's new. Meaning at that point in time, his obligation to bring carbon now has begun. Any ziva that he has subsequent to that, any ziva that he has at night, is the new. It's new. It's a totally new ziva. So why is Rav Yochanan having a discussion of, well, if he has one at night and two during the day, or two at night, one, what is that? In other words, at that point in time now, we have a reset. We've totally rebooted in terms of his ziva status. So the Gemara says, ki kama Rav Yochanan ledivrei haomer laila mechusar zman. So the Gemara says that when Rav Yochanan was making the distinction, one at night, two during the day, two at night, one during the day, that was only vis-a-vis those who hold that Laila is not Mechusar Zman. Those who hold that Laila is Mechusar Zman. But he personally holds that Laila is Lav Mechusar Zman, so the night begins, that's already now a new day. His obligation on karma now begins at night. So Pshita, Shtayim B'yom V'achas B'Laila, Tzrichlei. So the Gemara says, okay, so then is he making a big statement then? So the Gemara says, yes, he is. Meaning, even though he himself, this is an interesting part of Gemara, where Rav Yochanan is explaining a shita that he himself doesn't subscribe to. He himself says that Laila is not Mechusar Zman. So once the night starts, it's already considered now a totally new entity. It's a new status. But for those who say that Laila is Mechusar Zman, so the Gemara says, so then he is making a statement. What's his statement? Shtayim B'yom V'achas B'Laila Tzrichlei. Because look, what if he had one at night and two during the day, where he said, so for that individual, he's got to bring now a new carbon. So the Gemara says, look, this is like, you have to go back to Croesus to understand what's happening over here. But basically, one at night and two during the day, so the Gemara over there in Croesus has a major discussion of how do you view the first discharge of a zava. Or in this case, I should say rather a zav, because we're talking about a man. How do you view the first discharge of a zav? Is it basically not a full zav status? May have balkari status, and not a full zav status, and therefore that's not going to be counted, applied towards a new ziva discharge, or no, is it applied during a new ziva discharge? That's a debate over there in the Gemara and Croesus, and Rav Yochanan is weighing in on that debate. But if you ask Rav Yochanan himself, how do you feel? Rav Yochanan says, me, as far as I'm concerned, Laila is not Lav Mechusar Zman. The obligation to bring the carbon starts at night. I know you can't bring it, but it starts at night. So if you ask me what I feel, the way I feel is that obviously it's going to be a new status. Okay, good place to stop. Two dots. So again, we finished up the discussion today of Tofel. We introduced ourselves to a third sheet regarding Tofel. You could do it for animals and for money. Okay, the Rambam goes like Rav Yochanan, that you can only do it for money. And then, the Mishnah, let's confirm mistakes which are irreparable. One example is missing Chagig on Yantiv. Mamzer is a second example. Third example is missing, well, We're actually going to go. We're going to go over more examples tomorrow, or Talmid Chacham who goes astray. A number of examples. And finally, the discussion of Tashlumim, big part of today's daf, where Rav Yochanan and Rav Oshia have a debate in terms of how to view Tashlumim. Is it all Tashlumim for Yom Rishon, or is it Tashlumim, Zeh L'Zeh, does Yechiv get bumped? Okay, stop over here.